Welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces. We are keeping our attention on the county sheriff's race. We want to remind everybody once again that early voting has started and that there is a semi-open primary this year for the first time. So if you are an independent, you are not shut out of the process. You will have an opportunity to vote. We are going to be talking with the four candidates running for sheriff on the Republican side. They are Gabriel Baezas, Todd Garrison, Byron Hollister, and Jaime Quezada. I want to start by just offering you each a minute or so to tell us, tell the listeners a little bit about your experience, your background, and why it is you have decided to join the sheriff's race this year. And Mr. Garrison, we'll let you go first with this one, and then we'll rotate around and allow everybody else to go first on the next questions coming up.
Yes, sir. My name is Todd Garrison. I'm a lifelong resident of Doñana County, six generations. I have been married 43 years this year, six kids and 20 grandkids here. I have a little over 31 years of law enforcement experience here in Doñana County, working with the City of Las Cruces, State of New Mexico, with MTD, and also the Sheriff's Department. I did was actually the Sheriff of Doñana County from 2005 to 2014.
Jaime Quezada.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jaime Quezada. I'm born and raised here. I have 25 years of law enforcement experience. I have a strong passion for law enforcement. Ever since the small age of 5 years old, I wanted to be involved in law enforcement. Even used to have my own little block patrol when I was a kid. So I say community policing is strong within me and wanting to work with the public. I was a patrol officer, ended up moving up to be a sergeant, but during that time I was also, for about 16, 17 years, I was a detective that worked with several different agencies from federal, state, local, all across New Mexico and some couple other states. And then promoted up to sergeant, and then had the opportunity to be the undersheriff, which was 2019 through 2020, and then until the position was dissolved.
All right. Mr. Hollister.
Yes, my name is Byron Hollister. I have a military background. I came here in 1985, so I feel like I'm a resident. I've been here for so long. After the military, I came here on a scholarship to play baseball for 4 years up until 1990 when I joined the Las Cruces Police Department for 7 years. Then I was offered a job with the U.S. Marshals and took that. 2005, I became the head of the U.S. Marshals for this area and retired in 2016. I also have a background as a businessman here in Las Cruces. I own Hacienda Carpet and Tile. I've owned that since 1999, so almost 27 years now. I've also been a judge and a county manager in Luna County, so I have a vast array of experience and background.
Very good. And Mr. Baezas.
Yes, my name is Gabriel Baezas. My background is largely on the federal side. Primarily as a Green Beret, I've worked the gambit of that mission set from sniper in combat to advisor to ambassadors and generals. I've written training for federal and local law enforcement. One of the big reasons that I want to run at this time is because I have a 9-year-old daughter that I'm raising in this county, and I have friends, business owners here at local to Las Cruces who tell me that they've never been able to let their daughter play in their yard. They found fentanyl straws or hypodermic needles in the yard, right? That's not okay. Our children deserve a safe place to grow up. And that's been the biggest impetus to me.
Very good. Peter?
Unlike a lot of offices where we care, about your ideology and your political views, this is about who you are and how you relate to people. So I get, who am I starting with? Jaime?
Or right, did you, no, well, let's go this
Mr. Garrison?
Yeah, no, Todd went first last time.
So okay. Tell me some incident from, some incident from your background that really tells me who you are, that you might relate to somebody if you were, getting to know the person on a train or something. But what's an incident that typifies who you are?
Under the law enforcement mindset?
Not necessarily.
Just in general?
in general preferred?
In general, it's probably, I think I want to say my just my lifeline of what I've done, what I do, how I was raised here, born and raised here and all. I have a giving heart. I'm a big listener. I just want to help people whatever way possible, because here growing up in this area, if you're not exposed to certain resources and understanding and opportunities, I'm a first generation born here. Both my parents were immigrants. So when my parents have seventh grade education levels, they're happy once I get older than, or once I get my degree or even my diploma, they feel like they've accomplished the job. Me as a parent and then law enforcement, I'm not done. I want to be able to expose that to people. I'm on the Boys and Girls Club board. I'm on the Sendero High School board also. So I'm very involved with the people. I want to be approachable for any questions and assistance.
Mr. Hollister. And I'm looking more for a specific incident or event.
So when I was in charge of when I was in charge of the U.S. Marshals, it wasn't just a job for me. There was different things that came up, different opportunities I had, and I made the most of it. And I'll give you an example. I did a self-surrender program while I was in charge here. And we had it at the church, the Catholic Church. And what we did is we invited everyone to come in who had any type of background, warrant, whatever. And we set up the federal, state, and local judges in the same building. You come in, it's a one deal where you go right through, you get everything taken care of, you either start your process over or they reset you with a payment plan. And we had 1,200 cases taken care of in a three-day span, which it was a national program. But I somehow got it here to a smaller city, and we had the most per capita cases taken care of at once. But that's thinking outside the box.
Mr. Baezis.
Yeah, I think so. One of the things that helps connect me is my empathy. I think that I'm a good balance of standard and empathy. And I think one of the ways that I express that most frequently is as a rancher and employer. So the gentleness that it takes to husband livestock or to mentor young men and women in that endeavor, I've had the opportunity to I've got some college age cowboys right now that are working with me, and I've had the opportunity to introduce them to a lifestyle that is set on values and principles and will hopefully make them a more integrated, productive member of society.
Mr. Garrison.
Yes, sir. I think one of the things that I'm most proud of is when I first became sheriff in about 2005, 2006, something like that, I can't remember the exact time, I was approached by a couple of people and we began a club for kids in the county called the Bullseye Shooting Sports. And we had about 65 kids in that group that we would take out and train and mentor and teach on a number of different things that they competed in the state at 4-H and on a national level. And over the years, most of those kids were 8, 9, 10 years old, and I got to watch them mature, grow up. They've graduated, gotten married. As a matter of fact, I got to marry two of them. To watch them grow up and never be in trouble and just live productive lives, it was a real honor to be able to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd like to ask you each, if you get elected, what will be the first change you make, hopefully a major change, to the way that Sheriff Stewart is conducting the office right now? And Mr. Hollister, I guess you would be the first to go on that one.
So for me, I think the current sheriff has cut herself off and is more independent and does not work well with others, play well with others, however you want to say that. So the first thing I would do is reach out to every agency that's within Doñana County, including the federal agencies, and get that working group back together, because to me it takes a village to solve a problem. And I'll use the example. Todd said he became sheriff in 2005-06. That's when I became commander of the U.S. Marshal Service. Todd and I knew each other, so we worked well together. Harry Romero was the chief of police. We all came up through the LCPD as well as Jaime, and it was just easy because a lot of people don't trust the feds, but they knew me as a person, so they trusted me, and we were able to get a lot of things accomplished.
And Mr. Bises.
I think one of the big things is that we're disconnected currently from the community. And while I think that will require a multifaceted approach, rebuilding a lot of those relationships with other organizations, I think a lot of it also requires transparency and accountability that we're not seeing today. So I think one of the big things is regular town halls and regular communication with individuals in the community and regular touch points from leaders in the community that have actual feedback and whose voices are listened to.
Mr. Garrison.
First of all, I think getting into the office and finding out exactly what needs need to be met first, but I think the two of the biggest things that I would work on is just that rebuilding the relationship with officers within the department, trying to become more of a team, to be able to go out and participate in community efforts. And community policing is a very big thing I want to work on and be proactive at. I think, like I said, there's no way you can do good law enforcement without the community participating in that. So,
and Mr. Cazada.
My very first thing that I do is go in there and build the trust again from administration to the deputies to the civilian staff, listen to what the issues are there, so that way I can also express my goals, understanding their goals, their troubles. I think they haven't had a good strong voice during the recent administrations that have been there. That way we can then spread out and then start honestly working exactly what these other gentlemen have said.
You're running as Republicans, and I wonder in this community that's not primarily Republican and where the issue of what level of cooperation, if any, to extend to ICE is a major issue in the race. Does that cause any problems or mixed feelings for you?
So to be clear, I'm running as a constitutional conservative. So I don't run on rhetoric. I don't run on that sort of political level. So for me, the question is a constitutional question. We have rights and protections in place. And we have very strong delineation between local law enforcement and federal law enforcement. Immigration is a federal issue. However, it obviously affects local residents and local citizens. So I think it's important that we're able to work together. I support customs officers in the same way that I would support ATF or FBI. But I also think it's my responsibility to protect the citizens and residents of this county from overreach.
Mr. Garrison.
Yes, sir. The sheriff's office is to answer calls for service and respond to crimes in the community. And I think that doing that, we don't really get involved in whether people are here legally or not. We respond to what's going on at the time. I do believe that with House Bill 9 being passed, that kind of sets precedence as far as what we're able to do. It's important to know that the sheriff does not run the jail or have any control over that. We take care of things, either write citations, arrest people, put them in jail for those things, and then go from there. As sheriff, I would work with the local government and federal government on those issues and try to make them better for everyone.
Mr. Quezada.
So I say that I run as since you call it out as a Republican, I do run as a moderate sheriff, saying I don't think any party should be leading what the sheriff should be doing in decision-making. It comes down to the Constitution, the laws, and then our policies at the time. So would I support what they're doing? Just like Mr. Garrison said, we can't enforce those federal laws. We're not going to. But will we support them as far as officer safety in certain situations? If they call for assistance of an emergency, we're going to treat them the same way we're going to treat our constituents.
Mr. Hollister.
So, in referring to ICE, most people in the news these days talk about ICE detainers. Of course, the Sheriff's Department has nothing to do with the jail in this particular county, so that's not really a matter. But we do, if ICE called and said they need help, we would absolutely help them. The one thing I'm kind of down the middle on is a gray area, which if I get elected, I'll have to go to Santa Fe and see, is the Stone Garden grants. How are they saying those? Because all Stone Garden does is provide unlimited overtime and equipment for us, but the Border Patrol is in charge of that grant, so they do kind of give you some intel, but in no means do we go out and enforce immigration law. We're out there enforcing criminal law. So that's something we'd have to check on.
Yeah, that's fair. I'd like to ask you each about the issue of recruitment and retention. Can you talk about where the staffing levels are now, where ideally they should be, and what your plan would be to get them there? And Mr. Garrison, I think you're first on this one.
Yes, sir. I think recruitment is one of those things that I have always been big on. When I worked for the city of Las Cruces, I ran the academy for a number of years and worked to recruit those people and look for qualified applicants. And that is something, when I became sheriff, I did the same thing. And I think we finally, towards the end of my term, were able to get our numbers up. And we're actually, for the first time in a long time, actually having people from the city come to the county, which was not something that was normal due to the fact we had good equipment and good training and stuff like that. But that is something I will work towards. I know we're shorthanded over there right now. I think our numbers are in the 160 area where we should be, something like that. I'm not exactly sure on the exact number, but I will definitely work on getting those numbers back up and to retain officers.
Mr. Quezada.
There's such a strong need right now for recruitment within DASO. There's you have nine districts. No, I'm sorry. Seven districts, and you have nine personnel working those districts. One person per district.
And just what's the geographic size in general of each of those districts?
Miles, yeah. And miles.
Okay.
So it's without knowing the exact numbers.
Yeah, I know, of course, but I just want to make that clear.
But to have one deputy in one district and have one roving and one sergeant, and that's the policy for the minimum staffing per shift, is wrong. So I'm sorry. It's just a strong passion that we would need to get staffing and recruitment at a higher level. And get some incentives and show interest to get people wanting to work with DASO again.
Yeah. Mr. Hollister.
So the first thing is to address the morale at the Sheriff's Department. You've got to want to come to work. And right now I don't think they enjoy their job very much, so they're looking for somewhere to bail out to. And LCPD, when they offer bonuses, is a pretty good idea. We had the opportunity, was it maybe 3-4 years ago, they had a grant, and it was for retention and recruitment. And one paper is all you had to fill out to turn that in. The Sheriff's Department would have got easily $100,000, and Kim failed to do that. So we've got to ask our legislators this time if we can do those grants again, participate in this, and have some kind of retention bonus. Maybe they sign, well, I'm going to stay here for 3 years if you give me a little bonus. Plus, on the recruitment side, we can give a bonus as well. And I think that's the step we would take.
And Mr. Bices.
Yes, sir. So I think, if you've heard me speak before, you've probably heard me say that I think everyone wants to play for a winning team, right? So it does come down to pride in your job, pride in providing a service for a greater cause, right? The instillment of purpose. And so I think that one of the big things is, number one, we have to hold ourselves to a higher standard, training, communication, et cetera. Now, as far as – this obviously will affect morale and retention. But as far as actual recruitment, there are a couple different programs that I really like. There's a program that the Army does that allows a soldier who's exiting the Army for the last 6 months to basically do on-the-job training at the expense of the military. So instead of voters or taxpayers in the county paying for individuals to become qualified through the academy, it's all paid for by federal funding. And then we're getting individuals who already have a background in weapons and de-escalation and, you know, that sort of involvement.
Thank you very much. Peter.
We normally do what we've just been doing, ask each of you the same question. But some of you are more well-known publicly than others, so I'm going to ask you each a slightly different question this round, based on public information. Mr. Garrison, your term as sheriff, your second term, ended badly in the sense that with what I think were very good motives, you hired a person named Seeberger who made grown deputies and war veterans cry, torpedoed morale, eventually sued everybody. I don't know whether he sued you, but he sued all the county commissioners and the Sun News and myself, and got thrown out of court and required to pay money for. When you look back at that, how do you think about it? How would you explain it? What were you trying to do? And, you know, when you look back, are you mad at Mr. Seeberger or mad at the county or the courts?
You know, in that situation, I was trying to obtain some help, just trying to finalize the end of my term and get our accreditation levels up and our policies and procedures redone, and trying to just leave on a good note. I mean, I was really trying to, you know, my goal was to be in the office to the very end and trying to keep things going in the right direction. And, you know, I think I learned a lot with how the politics works. As you're going out, people in the sheriff's office are lining up with whoever's coming in, and everything kind of changes. I think with Mr. Seeberger, you know, I think he did a good job with the things he was working on and trying to get that transition done within the department. Just it failed, and that was on me. And, you know, I would try to do something else in a different way. But that was my goal, was to try to just leave in a good light, not a bad way, trying to leave in a positive note.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Quesada, you were the undersheriff for a while and part of the Kim Stewart administration as sheriff, and then you very publicly were not. What do you want to tell us about all that?
You know, I'll still admit that the time that I was there, Kim and I made a good, strong team together. Separating it, once she decided to dissolve it, things have changed since then. You can follow the timeline since then. As far as my, I think it was my experience and everything that was challenging to her in her different mindset. I think administration manipulated her mindset at the time on some lack of experience here locally, that she viewed things differently. I don't want to speak for her, obviously, but it's just the views of everything that changed. I'd still been involved so much. I know you and I have bumped into each other at BOCC meetings, as I still speak for the community and for DASO. So what do I want people to know at the end is that's in the past. I still pride myself with my leadership, my experience, and my knowledge of what I want to do for the community and what needs to get done. You asked earlier, why am I running? Because I'm not done. There's so much that needs to be done that has been misplaced and not handled, and I think I can do that.
Thank you. Mr. Hollister, you're probably less well-known in the community, although you did run once before. We talked to you then. What have you learned since then that will make you a stronger candidate?
So I learned so much during that last 4 years when I ran against Kim. I did win the primary. Kim and I faced off in the November election, and I lost by 4 percentage points. What everybody told me is when you run against an incumbent, you're down 20 percentage points to start out with, just because they're an incumbent. I told myself I learned a lot, and I was going to try one more time with the knowledge I gained, and hopefully I'm on a level playing field this time. There's no incumbent. So we'll take it from there, but I did learn quite a bit. Nothing I can open up and go through here, but there's a lot of politics that I know about that I didn't before, that's for sure.
Thank you. Mr. Bises, you're much less well-known. You mentioned being a constitutional conservative. What would you say about the Constitution versus how it is regarded by most politicians and governments these days?
So I think one of the most important things to remember is that this nation is a republic. We are a constitutional republic. And I think when we forget that, and you know, you hear the rhetoric that we're a democracy all the time, right? One of the most important differences in a republic and a democracy is that the republic protects the minority. The republic protects the rights of every single individual, regardless of what your religion or creed or ethnicity or financial status might be. And so to me, it's incredibly important that we have this objective piece of legislation that holds us all accountable. Now, ultimately, we're accountable to the residents. We're accountable to the people. That's not always been the case, right? There are absolutely individuals, there are absolutely causes and political motivations that people use to try to skirt the Constitution. But that's why it's so important that we make it, again, front and center and say, hey, this is the objective law that we hold ourselves to, because the New Mexico State Constitution also is very clear that the U.S. Constitution is the law of the land.
We're in our last 15 minutes here, and I want to bring this around full circle to where you started, Mr. Bises, with your description of a father who doesn't feel comfortable letting his child play outside in the yard. And I hear that, and I hear Mr. Quezada tell me that there is one officer responsible for patrolling an enormous part of the county. And I know this is a question that probably can't be answered in the few, but how do we square that circle? How do we take that situation, that lack of manpower that you described, and solve the very real problem that Mr. Bias is presenting us? And I know that's difficult, but Mr. Quezada, what are your best thoughts on that?
It's actually not that difficult if you train your officers to understand and give them the empowerment of how to handle certain situations. You use community policing. It's what it comes down to. Mr. Hollister, you mentioned earlier about, you know, it takes, how did you word it?
A village
to, you know. So the community has to be your eyes and ears. And what needs to happen now is you need to incorporate the communities to work with you. I'm a huge person about wanting to educate the public of why law enforcement does certain things. Because once they understand what we're doing and how we're doing it and why, the natural trust will start building. And if they can feel that trust that we're working together to handle things, then they're going to communicate and speak with us a lot more of what's going on out there. And then they start learning how to even maybe police themselves in some ways.
Yeah. Mr. Hollister.
So you're not going to double your budget. There's just no way that's going to happen. But if you look at our county, we have the Mesilla Marshals, we have the Anthony Police Department, we have the State Police. So if you as a deputy take the initiative to introduce yourself to these people and get to know these people, well then you all look out for one another. And so instead of having just one person, you may have five people in that area. And that's the only way to solve that, is to get out there, community police with these other agencies and have them as your backup.
Mr. Bises.
So one of the things that I say a lot is people helping people, right? I think in a lot of ways we identify ourselves in restrictive manners, right? We describe ourselves as ways that separate us from the community that we live in. And one of the things that we have to do better is pull ourselves back together, right? This is one community, and we have to act as one community. Now, one of the big things we have to do is we have to start developing relationships. Some realistic ways that we might do that. You know, last year we passed the GO bond, right? $160 million to build community centers, right? So what happens if we build a community center and no one fills it? What does it become?
A waste of money.
A waste of money at a location that might end up being, you know, a spot for truancy or crime or whatever, right? So I'm a big fan, a big advocate of bringing back the volunteer sheriff's department, right? We've got individuals in the community who are very interested in making their community better, right? Let's support that. Why wouldn't we? The fact that it has waned and kind of been choked out in the last few years is disheartening, right? But there are still individuals in the community who are very interested in helping in those roles. So like Spence said, we're not necessarily going to be able to double our manpower, at least not in the immediate future. But what we can do is we can use the resources that we have much more efficiently, much more effectively.
Thank you. And Mr. Garrison.
Yes, sir. I think all these are great ideas. And trust and communication are two of the biggest things that law enforcement has, and we need to work with the community to get across. You know, I think one of the big issues is that most of the things that happen in the county fall back on the sheriff's office. I think the sheriff's office and all the law enforcement throughout the county, we do a real good job at doing what we do, which is enforcing the laws and arresting people when need to be, holding people accountable. Yet when a person is released from the courts or from the jail 2 days later and they're out committing another crime, people think it falls on us. And I think having that communication back and forth with the community and letting them know what's really going on and how laws are established and set up and what's the truth is very important. And that working together is vital.
Who are we starting with this time?
Let's see. I think Mr. Garrison, is that right?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. We've talked about training officers to do different things. How would you change the training budget and what, you know, very briefly, what specifically would you train officers to do that they are now not being trained to do? Mr. Garrison?
Well, I think, first of all, I'd like to get into the office and exactly see what's being done and what training is being offered and everything else. I think it's, being involved in training in my 31 years of law enforcement experience is vital. I think that's, training is of vital importance to all the officers. And the training changes from day to day, from year to year. I mean, as the pendulum swings, we have to change those training.
Nothing specific.
Yeah.
Mr. Quezada.
So their peer support group has been dissolved, as far as I understand, and I think they haven't been trained well enough on their own wellness to understand themselves, the way the human mind works, how it thinks, to have the difference of emotions and logic. If I can get them trained up to understand that and be able to share that also with the public, they'll understand more and more when they go to a situation or they get elevated in a chaotic situation, not to let their emotions take over, so they can de-escalate things a lot quicker.
Mr. Hollister.
So I want my deputies to be absolutely clear as far as when they pull over a vehicle, what to do and what not to do, what lines not to step over and whatever. And I think the county attorney can help immensely with that, just having maybe a monthly training on that. And that means you see it all the time where, you know, cops are breaking windows and pulling people out of cars. You see it on social media all the time. Well, we've got to know that maybe that's not the answer. If it's not a situation where you need to escalate it, why not take a picture of the person, take a picture of the license plate and leave it at that, and then send them a ticket in the mail?
Mr. Bises.
So I think one of the big things is some critical thinking training and the ability to respond to certain situations. We do in a lot of military or federal law enforcement has a level of training that is based on CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, and neuro-linguistic programming that allows you to really be in the moment in a crisis. And situations like this, if you don't have that level of training, it's very easily, if you don't have that level of training and you keep it, current, it's very easy to be overwhelmed in a certain situation. And so one of the things that I think we need to do is increase some of the levels of training, some of the levels of response training. And I'd like to see some higher standards held. Now, again, that will we talk about a manning problem, right? If we already have a manning problem, and I say, hey, we need to increase our standard, that causes an additional problem, right? Which I guess goes back to different things that we were talking about earlier about styles of recruiting and the individuals that we try to recruit. But I think the big thing is we need to make sure that we're addressing officers as whole people, right? We sometimes think that they're robots, and they're really not, right? They're absolutely human beings.
We are down to our last few minutes. I want to, first of all, thank all of you so much for coming in. I think this has been a terrific discussion. I certainly feel like I'm leaving here with a better idea of where all of you stand on these issues. I want to just give you a minute here at the end to try to make your final pitch and also let people know if they want to learn more about your campaign. Is there a website or is there somewhere they could go to do that? And I think, Mr. Cazzato, you get to go first. So about a minute and just, make your final pitch.
Perfect. No, thank you for having us. It's a great opportunity to be able to speak out to everybody and again, hear everyone else out. So if you want to learn more about me, I still have my Facebook page, which is Quesada, the number 4, Sheriff. And I also have my website at quesada4sheriff.com. So the one thing I want to get out to the public, just to understand what my goals initially, what I stand on. I'm not a politician. I'm still a street cop. I'm still a police officer. I want to protect and serve the community. The biggest three things that I stand on is accountability, unity. Unity is huge for me and us working together, but then to be able to protect and serve the community overall as a whole.
Very good. Thank you very much. Mr. Hollister.
So, first of all, I want people to know that I'm not running to just get a title. I'm running to make the office a better place for the deputies. That's my only goal, is to make it safer for our citizens and provide some sort of sense of I want to like my job. I want to go to my job, because that's what I had when I was a young recruit. I looked up to everybody. The actual supervisors came out and went on patrol with us, which I'll never forget that. And that's something I would do, because maybe something little, but when the guys see you out there with them on Friday, Saturday nights, it makes a big difference.
Sure.
And so that's my goal. You can look me up on Facebook at Byron Hollister, 4 Sheriff, the number 4. And that's about it.
Thank you. Mr. Bices.
Thank you. So I have a three-pillar plan, right? We talk about organizational excellence, talk about public safety, and community integration. And I think it requires each of those, both that we're always pulling ourselves to a higher standard, we're always improving ourselves internally, that allows us to serve better, right, as members of the community and as protectors of the community. So I think that, one of the big things is, I always tell people that when my children were younger, they used to ask me, what I did in the military. And I'd always tell them that daddy fights bullies so other people don't have to. And that's still my pledge. That's still my commitment. My character is, I won the Valor Award for bravery in the face of danger above and beyond the call of duty. And my commitment to this community is that I will lead and I will be a gritty leader in a way that protects you from the bullies that you have not been protected from so far.
And Mr. Garrison.
Yes, sir. Public service is something that's been in my blood since a young kid. Became a officer when I was 21 and worked until I retired. And we really want to get back into this again and continue that. You don't just give it up. It doesn't just end. But you can find me on GarrisonForSheriff.com and on Facebook also, ToddGarrisonForSheriff.com.
Well, once again, I want to thank you all so much. I want to remind everybody that early voting has already started. Also remind you that this show is going to rebroadcast from 2 to 4 this afternoon and will be available after that online at lccommunityradio.org.